of WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
We have breaking news from North Korea. Moments ago, two U.S. officials told the Associated Press American soldier Travis King is now in U.S. custody. State media in North Korea had announced earlier today he would be expelled for allegedly confessing to crossing the DMZ in July. U.S. officials said King was punished for misconduct while he was serving in South Korea. Again, American soldier Travis King in U.S. custody. We are not sure where or how, but we are just getting that news. First, writers and actors, then auto workers. Will hospitality workers in Las Vegas be next? They voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike against major resorts along the Strip. CBS Las Vegas' Kyle Payne has been talking to union members.
They are dollars apart in hourly wage, asking for more benefits and better job security against technology whittling down its workforce. A strike would be just fine with Shireen Jackson, a housekeeper at The Link. Single and
definitely underpaid and overworked.
Jackson doubles as a DoorDash driver. She says she doesn't make enough and works more than she should.
Bartenders, cooks, and food servers would also be included. Members of the Writers Guild are returning to work for the first time in 4 months, but actors are still on strike and there are no new negotiations scheduled for them. Eric Haywood was on the WGA's negotiating committee.
I hope that this inspires, you know, the studios to really respond, to really hear what SAG is asking for.
Writers will get 12.5% pay raises over the length of their 3-year contract, as well as more streaming residuals and new protections against AI. A wedding celebration turns to tragedy in Iraq. Health Ministry spokesman says about 100 people were killed, 150 injured, when fireworks sparked a fire just as the bride and groom began to slow dance at a banquet hall northwest of Baghdad. Unclear if they were among the injured. Authorities say flammable building materials allowed the flames to spread quickly. Millions of U.S. families who rely on child care could be at risk. At the same time, Congress works to avoid a government shutdown. CBS's Nicole Killian.
There is a bipartisan task force that is looking at other potential legislative solutions, but there's growing concern about this child care cliff and a potential government shutdown hitting at the same time, which could hurt families and these child care providers.
It's time to play America's favorite jackpot game. This is Powerball. Good evening, America. I'm Laura Johnson. Tonight we have another live.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Now at Staples,
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A study conducted by Addiction Treatment Magazine found Wisconsin had the 7th highest percentage of underage drinkers in the country. The study found that nearly 20% of Wisconsin residents between 12 and 20 years old had used alcohol within the previous month, about 125,000 people. The study also found 10.6 had binged alcohol in the past month. The other states in the top 7 include Vermont, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Iowa. The National Park Service's annual report on economic effects of visitor spending found nearly 672,000 people visited national parks in Wisconsin last year, spending around $66 million. According to a WPR report, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway was responsible for a large uptick in national park visits, seeing just over 100,000 more people last year. Between Wisconsin and Minnesota, people spent about $41 million supporting the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Mercy, mercy me. Mercy, all things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Marvin Gaye, 50 years ago, still haven't solved the problem, still working on it. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 64 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in Richland Center right now, and 62 degrees with cloudy skies in Eau Claire. The next story that I want to get to is a story about the environment and about ecology. And this is from the Washington Post with a headline that says, Antarctica just hit a record low in sea ice by a lot. Sea ice extent around the Arctic was the sixth lowest on record as well. Okay, so those are the two poles of the Earth, the North Pole and the South Pole at the Antarctic. The record low in sea ice. And at the Arctic Pole, it was the sixth lowest on record. It says here that sea ice levels around Antarctica just registered a record low, and by a wide margin, as winter comes to a close there, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center. This significant milestone adds worry that Antarctic sea ice may be entering a state of decline brought on by climate change. Quote, there is some concern that this may be the beginning of a long-term trend of decline for Antarctic sea ice, since oceans are warming globally and warm water mixing in the southern ocean polar layer could continue, read the NSIDC announcement. NSIDC is the National Snow and Ice Data Center. That announcement released on Monday. Sea ice around the polar regions grows and melts with the seasons. in Antarctica, sea ice typically hits its minimum coverage at the end of the Southern Hemisphere's summer, around February. It reaches its maximum extent at the end of winter, in mid to late September. This February, scientists reported Antarctic floating sea ice hit an all-time low at the end of the summer, and sea ice growth continued to remain slow through the winter. This year, Antarctica reached its annual maximum coverage on September 10th, about 13 days earlier than average. At that time, the annual ice coverage was at a record low of 6.55 million square miles, a whopping 398,000 square miles lower than the previous record low set back in 1986. 398,000 square miles lower than the previous record. Here's a quote. This is from an ice scientist named Twyla Moon. She says, "It is surprisingly low. We have this extreme low minimum, and there hasn't been any ability to recover towards previous higher extents during the Antarctic fall and Antarctic winter. We're starting to see this year-round influence." Sea ice around the polar regions plays a critical part in protecting the adjacent ice sheets. Less sea ice means less sunlight will be reflected back to space, causing waters to warm more and destabilize surrounding ice and glaciers. Coastlines are also much more exposed with less sea ice, removing a buffer that could help protect melting ice shelves or ice sheets. Scientists have long seen these downward sea ice declines and effects in the Arctic. In a separate announcement on Monday, the NSIDC stated that Arctic sea ice extent at the end of this summer was at its sixth lowest in nearly 45 years of satellite records, extending the worrying trend that the last 17 years have had the lowest Arctic summer sea ice extents on record. Declining trends in Antarctic sea ice have been more unclear. Scientists now think the continent is hitting a turning point, much like the Arctic has. In just 7 years, Antarctica has experienced three new record-breaking low sea ice summers. A study published on September 13th said these records indicate that the underlying processes controlling Antarctic sea ice coverage may have altered. Now, and this is that ice scientist talking again, now we're also seeing this sea ice loss as ice that forms on the surface of the ocean appears to be influenced by warming ocean temperatures and perhaps other processes as well. We might be looking at a very different system now that is affecting Antarctic sea ice in all seasons. Antarctica has been showing responses to climate change in other ways as well, said the ice scientist. Antarctica and the Arctic are warming faster than the global average. Warmer ocean temperatures around the continent have caused major ice melt around the ice sheet, including destabilizing what's known as the Thwaites Glacier, which is about the size of Florida and contributes to 4% of annual global sea level rise. Moon, the ice scientist, said changes in how the ocean moves as well as the atmosphere have also become more apparent. Quote, "It's not great news," said Gail Whiteman, an expert on global risks resulting from polar climate change. And she's also a professor of sustainability at the University of Exeter. She said polar ice is one of the world's biggest insurance policies against runaway climate change. And we can see in both the North and South sea ice, that we've got problems and alarm bells are ringing. That's a piece from the Washington Post about what's going on in the at the poles, North Pole, South Pole, Arctic, Antarctic, and it's not looking real good right now. And as far as the environment, climate change, it's not all bad news. It's mostly bad news, but there's a little bit of good news. There is a story in The Guardian right now that says staggering green growth gives hope for 1.5 Celsius, says global energy chief. And what they're talking about here is that we, the people of Earth, are putting up so much new sources of energy, new sources of energy, like solar power and the electric vehicles. Well, we are going at a rate now, which is in line with net zero goal, but rich countries must hasten their broader plans, is what it says here in the subheadline. I'll give you a little bit of this before we head to our next break. It says the prospects of the world staying within the 1.5 Celsius limit on global heating have brightened owing to the staggering growth of renewable energy and green investment in the past 2 years. So just in 2 years, a noticeable difference. That's according to the chief of the world's energy watchdog, Faith Birol, the executive director of the International Energy Agency and the world's foremost energy economist, said much more needed to be done, but that the rapid uptake of solar power and electric vehicles were encouraging. Quote, despite the scale of the challenges, I feel more optimistic than I felt 2 years ago. Solar, photovoltaic installations, and electric vehicle sales are perfectly in line with what we said they should be, to be on track to reach net zero by 2050, and thus stay within the 1.5 Celsius limit. Clean energy investments in the last 2 years have been a staggering 40% increase. But Birol also noted that greenhouse gas emissions from the energy sector were still stubbornly high, and that the extreme weather seen around the world this year had shown the climate was already changing at frightening speed. And in a report entitled Net Zero Roadmap, published yesterday morning, the IEA also called on developed countries with 2050 net zero targets, including the United Kingdom, to bring them forward by several years. The report found almost all countries must move forward their targeted net zero dates, for which most developed countries, it's 2050. Some developed countries have earlier dates, such as Germany with 2045, Austria and Iceland with 2040, and for more developing countries, they're much later, 2060 in the case of China, and 2070 for India. So it's not all bad news, it's just mostly bad news. But some of the things we're doing are making a difference. More solar power, more wind energy, and more electric vehicles are making a difference. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin.
Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Yeah, look at all the lonely people. Man, that's a great song by the Beatles. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 23 minutes after 9 o'clock at 61 degrees with cloudy skies in Amory and in Hayward right now. And speaking of lonely people, do you think that the United States is in a mental health crisis? Well, evidently, a lot of people do. There is a new poll that says 87% of Californians say that the United States is in a mental health crisis. But how do they feel about themselves? That's the headline from the Mercury News at mercurynews.com. This piece was posted just this morning. It says nearly 9 out of 10 Californians say America is in the midst of a mental health crisis, according to a sprawling new statewide survey of Golden State residents who also express lingering concerns over inflation, homelessness, and housing. The overwhelming consensus on the poor state of America's mental health, which fully 87% of Californians labeled a crisis, crossed all political and demographic groups in the poll released yesterday, Tuesday night, by the Public Policy Institute of California. Yet, perhaps counterintuitively, 81% of those surveyed said they would rate their own mental health as excellent. 18% said it was very good. 31% said good. And only 4% described their own mental health as poor. Let me give you those numbers again. I think I messed that up. It says, perhaps counterintuitively, 81% of those surveyed said they would rate their own mental health as excellent. 18% said excellent. Yeah, this is kind of difficult to understand. Very good, 31%, good, 32%. So was it 81% said their health is excellent? Yeah, I guess so. Only 4% described their own mental health as poor. Yet when asked about other people, they said about 90% said there was a crisis going on. Also, nearly 4 out of 10 said the COVID-19 pandemic had a negative impact on their mental health. And here's a quote from the statewide survey director. Public Policy Institute said, I think that people are reading and hearing a lot about what is going on in terms of drug abuse, mental health, and homelessness. And in a rare show of unity, the poll found that huge majorities of Democrats, 91%, Independents, 90%, and Republicans, 85%, all believe the United States is experiencing a mental health crisis. And it's the same among racial and ethnic groups, with voters who identified as Black at 93%, White, 88%, Latino, 86%, Asian Americans, 83%, all agreeing. The survey comes just as the state next month, California, begins rolling out one of Governor Gavin Newsom's key initiatives known as CARE Court, C-A-R-E, CARE Court, which allows a court to require treatment for people suffering from severe mental illness. And next spring, voters will be asked to approve a nearly $6.4 billion bond measure that would add thousands of beds for psychiatric and residential treatment facilities. And the Public Policy Institute results mirrored the opinions of voters across the country in a CNN Kaiser Family Foundation poll in October of last year, in which 90% considered the U.S. in a mental health crisis. With such a broad question, though, Paul Maslin, a Democratic pollster in California, isn't fazed by the consensus. He said, newsflash, America is screwed up. Is that a surprise? If you just sort of spring something on people and say, is America in a mental health crisis? There are so many things going on. Does it mean the general insanity in our news all the time? Does it mean homelessness? These are insane times. So if you say, is America suffering from a mental health crisis? Yeah, we are. Although concerns over mental health and homelessness are high, nickel and dime financial matters still topped the survey's list of issues of concern, with more than 28% of those surveyed naming jobs, the economy, and inflation as the number one issue facing the state of California. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and chance, still a man hears.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Pentagon says Private Travis King is now in American custody. The AP reporting he's in China 2 months after crossing into North Korea. Pyongyang's announcement this morning that he was being expelled was a surprise to some who'd expected the North to drag out King's detention in exchange for concessions from Washington. Tens of thousands of hotel workers in Las Vegas have authorized a strike.
We're coming together to show these companies that we cannot
and should not be left behind because we're the ones that are making your money.
New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez is expected to be arraigned in half an hour on charges of taking gold bars and cash in exchange for favors for two businessmen. CBS's Nicole Killian is at the courthouse in New York.
He did arrive here at the federal courthouse with his wife, Nadine, who is also charged, by the way. So we know that the senator has maintained his innocence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin Republican proposed bill for nearly $3 billion tax cuts in the state has advanced in the legislature. The Joint Finance Committee voted 11-4 to advance the bill, and the Senate Universities and Revenue Committee took public testimony on it. The bill would lower the tax rate on the state's third income tax bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. Governor Tony Evers is expected to veto the bill when it makes its way to his desk. Anti-abortion groups are calling on Milwaukee and Dane County District Attorneys to prosecute abortion providers. Planned Parenthood began providing abortions again after a July decision by Dane County Judge Diana Schlipper, ruling the 1849 law interpreted to potentially ban abortion did not actually apply to consensual abortions. Milwaukee District Attorney John Chisholm and Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan have both announced they will not enforce the law. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
You could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. And you won't read that book again, because the ending's just too hard to take. walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way script. Enter number two, a movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. Never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, the story's always in. If you read between the lines, you'll know that trying to understand the feelings that you left. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:36 right now. And we've got 64 degrees in La Crosse right now with cloudy skies. In Richland Center, it's also 64 degrees with rain. And I have an update for you on the government shutdown. Yeah, it doesn't look good. You know, the problem that we are facing is the fact that the extremist Republicans, the MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives, are saying they don't want to agree to any kind of a deal because they want big cuts in spending. They want massive cuts in spending. And they say that the government, the United States, is just spending way too much money. Well, here's the big irony. If there's a government shutdown, everybody is going to lose money. It's going to be bad for everybody. The United States in general is going to be losing billions of dollars every day. And I'm kind of losing my voice right now, so I'm going to ask my producer to have a song ready in case I can't continue. I'm suffering with a little bit of a cold and an allergy thing going on right now. How about this? Well, it sounds like it might be coming back, but maybe not. Hey, Sam, you want to play a song? Well, I get some hot tea or something so I can continue. We'll get back to the government shutdown in just a minute.
You were wrong when you thought it held everything. place. He opens the door, he's got that look on his face, and he asks you where you've been. You tell him who you've seen, and you talk about anything. He's got this dream about buying some land. He's gonna give up the booze and the one night stand.
Give it another try. Hey, we got 9:42. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It does sound like I have my voice back, at least for now. So let's get back to the stories of the day, the headlines of the day. And as I was mentioning before I lost my voice, it does look like the government is heading towards a shutdown. I have a story here from the Associated Press, apnews.com. Says Congress says it wants to avoid a shutdown, but the House and Senate are moving even further apart. This piece was just posted earlier this morning by Lisa Mascaro and Stephen Groves from the Associated Press. It says the Congress is starkly divided over very different paths to preventing a federal shutdown. The Senate is charging ahead with a bipartisan package to temporarily fund the government, but the House of Representatives is slogging through a long-shot effort with no real chance of finishing by Saturday's deadline. With days remaining before a federal closure, the stakes are rising with no resolution at hand. A shutdown would furlough millions of federal employees, leave the military without pay, disrupt air travel, and cut off vital safety net services. And it would be politically punishing to lawmakers whose job it is to fund government. President Biden, who earlier this year reached a budget deal with Speaker Kevin McCarthy that became law, believes it's up to the House of Representatives to deliver. And the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, for the White House, said a deal is a deal. This is for them to fix. Late Tuesday, yesterday, the Senate pushed ahead in sweeping bipartisan fashion to break the stalemate, advancing a temporary measure called a continuing resolution, or a CR, to keep government running through November 17th. It would maintain funding at current levels with a $6 billion boost for Ukraine and $6 billion for U.S. disaster relief, among other provisions. And it's on track for Senate approval later this week, but faces long odds in the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader, pushed a hard right flank that rejects the deal he made with Joe Biden and is demanding steep spending cuts. He showed no interest in the Senate's bipartisan effort or the additional money for Ukraine. He said, quote, "I think their priorities are bad." Instead, Kevin McCarthy is reviving plans for the House Republicans' own stopgap funding measure that would slash federal spending by 8%.
for many agencies and attach a hardline border security measure that conservatives are demanding. He's planning a vote on Friday, but Biden, Democrats, and even some Republicans have said the package is too extreme. Even some Republicans have said that. Kevin McCarthy is trying to goad Biden into negotiations over the border package, highlighting the record number of migrants crossing the southern border with Mexico. But the speaker has little leverage at this point, and the White House has downplayed the prospect of talks. But first, Kevin McCarthy is expected to spend much of this week trying to pass some of the bills needed to fund government agencies, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, Agriculture, and State and Foreign Operations. It's a daunting task ahead. The House Republicans advanced those bills late Tuesday, yesterday, after days of setbacks and disarray. But it is not at all clear McCarthy has the votes from his hard right flank to actually pass the four bills this week. So there's an update for you as to what's going on with the possibility of a government shutdown, and it's not looking good right now. 9:47, going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hustle up. We've got 8 more floors to go before lunch.
Sarusha's window washing business is reaching new heights.
Wipe, wipe, and let's roll.
They need more certified cleaners to keep online reviews crystal clear.
Team, I know we're hustling, but watch for streaks. Candace, can you give me a hand over here?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Do you understand me now? If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad.
1 right now. And we have just a few more minutes. Hopefully my voice will hold up for the remaining time that we have. Misunderstood, Sadella Marley, in a tribute, or from a tribute album to Nina Simone. Some great music there. And the next thing I want to get to in the time we have remaining is concerning that new book that came out yesterday by Cassidy Hutchinson. You remember her, part of the Trump White House, and she has a new book called Enough. She was the young lady who testified last summer to the January 6th committee about what was going on in the White House during the day of January 6th. So I found in Yahoo News a story about five revelations in Cassidy Hutchinson's new book about her time in the Trump White House. The former aide's memoir called Enough hit the bookshelves yesterday. This piece from Yahoo News says Cassidy Hutchinson, who served as an aide to former President Donald Trump's White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows, is out with a new book that paints a damning picture of the outgoing administration's chaotic final days. In her book called Enough, which became available to the public on Tuesday, Hutchinson, who testified last year during the House Select Committee's series of public hearings about the events surrounding the January 6, 2021 Capitol insurrection, offers new details about the behavior of top officials like Meadows, Trump's former lawyer Rudy Giuliani, and others in their orbit. So here are some revelations from the book. Hutchinson alleges that Rudy Giuliani groped her at Trump's January 6th rally. It says, at Trump's rally that preceded the Capitol riot, Hutchinson writes that Giuliani groped her. Giuliani, who spoke at the rally, flatly denied the allegation, HuffPost reported earlier this week. According to Cassidy Hutchinson, Giuliani approached her in a backstage tent like a wolf closing in on its prey. He complimented her leather jacket, which Hutchinson told him was faux leather, then wrapped his arm around her body. Quote, his hand slips under my blazer, then my skirt, Hutchinson recalls. I feel his frozen fingertips trail up my thigh. He tilts his chin up. The whites of his eyes looked jaundiced. She looked over at John Eastman, another Trump lawyer who spoke at the rally. Eastman, Hutchinson writes, flashed her a leering grin. Hutchinson writes that she recoiled and stormed away, filled with rage. Another thing we learned from the book, Meadows was burning so much paperwork that his wife said his suits smell like a bonfire. The Presidential Records Act requires White House staffers to preserve their documents and send them to the National Archives. But according to Cassidy Hutchinson, staffers in the Trump White House were burning their copies of the important papers that are supposed to go back to the National Archives. According to the book, Meadows was burning so much paperwork in his office fireplace during the final weeks of the Trump administration that Hutchinson was worried he would set off the West Wing smoke detectors. On December 19th of 2020, Hutchinson recalls that she even propped open the door to a patio to air out the office of smoke, despite the chill in the air. Hutchinson writes that Meadows' wife, Debbie, asked her and another staffer not to light the fireplace anymore. Quote, all of his suits smell like a bonfire, Debbie Meadows told them, according to Hutchinson, and I can't keep up with his dry cleaning, she said. Also, another revelation, Mark Meadows, drank 3.5 White Claws, White Claw cans, not knowing that they contained alcohol. Hutchinson writes that Meadows, who, like Trump, did not drink alcohol, accidentally got tipsy while drinking multiple cans of White Claw in the White House. As Hutchinson tells it, Meadows apparently did not know that the popular hard seltzer beverage contained alcohol when he downed 3.5 cans of it at the White House on the Monday morning after the 2020 election. Quote, as a dedicated and faithful Southern Baptist, Mark had never drunk an alcoholic beverage in his life until mid-November of 2020, Hutchinson writes. She and another staffer kept a stash of White Claw in his fridge, and a thirsty Meadows unknowingly reached for them during a meeting with White House Budget Director Russ Vogt. Quote, I know you girls keep my fridge stocked with sparkling water, so I went and got one. I sat back down and took a sip and thought, wow, this is real good. I looked at it and saw it was blackberry and thought, the girls never got me this one before, Meadows later told Hutchinson, according to the book. He went on and said, I liked it a lot and drank it pretty quick and went and got another. Grapefruit, another new flavor. Then I got a third. One more thing that we found out from the book released yesterday, Meadows told Hutchinson his job was to keep Trump out of jail. In a June of 2020, a few months after Meadows became Trump's fourth chief of staff, Hutchinson recalls her boss acknowledging his low bar for success. He said, Cass, if I can get through this job and manage to keep Trump out of jail, I'll have done a good job, Meadows told Hutchinson per her memoir. That looks like we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you for sticking around. I hope you have a good day today. Do something nice for someone. And I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
This is where I belong.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere.